Good morning. It's good to see all of you here this morning. It's just fantastic to experience the fellowship that we've had already and will have during the service and afterwards. So good to be in the Lord's house, and we're glad that you're here. Glad those that might be listening in the parking lot and also those who will be listening later on the website. We're so glad that each one of you has chosen to be a part of what God is doing. And I found out that, I think last week I mentioned about doing a funeral this week. And one of my, mine and Pam's friends from Greensboro was there because she was a part of the same youth group. And found out she's getting online ever so often and listening to what's going on and reading the newsletter. So you just never know. So y'all be good. Okay. Let's pray together. Lord, it's been wonderful to be in your house, to experience the fellowship and love that we share as brothers and sisters in Christ. And we know that we love you because you first loved us, and we love one another with true Christian love because you've poured your love into us. Today, as we worship, we pray for the leadership of the Holy Spirit in all that we do. We pray that your word might go forth in your anointing. We pray that we'll have ears to hear what you are saying to the churches. And Lord, if there's one listening that doesn't know Jesus, I pray that today that person, young person, older person, man or woman, red, yellow, black or white, that they'll come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior before the sun goes down tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Everybody doing well, I hope. We're going to do a hymn sing now, and we don't have a pianist today, but the pastor mentioned this song in a sermon a couple weeks back, and I've been humming it ever since, and I can't get it off my mind. So I thought, well, maybe that means we need to sing it today. I need thee every hour. And as the pastor pointed out, we need him every moment, not just every hour. But let's all stand and sing together, I need thee every hour, okay?
I need thee every hour, most holy one. Make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to
thank you. Welcome somebody to church this morning. Okay, I have some announcements for you this morning I want to share with you. We found a watch, and if anybody's lost a watch, we found this watch in kind of a weird place. We found it. We found it in that blue tub downstairs where we keep all of our utensils. And so you could have been reaching down. It's a lady's watch. You could have been reaching down in there to get something out of there, and it could have fallen off your arm. So it's a pretty nice watch. And so I'm going to lay it down right here. You all, if you've lost a watch, come down and take a look at it. It could have been in there a long, long time. I don't know. No way of knowing. So all right. Now, while we're talking about this, I wanted to make sure that we thank everyone for their coming yesterday. Stacy, I think we had a good crowd, don't you?
We had a wonderful crowd. They got a lot accomplished.
Yes. You want to address that, Stacy?
I just want to thank everybody that came out. If you've noticed, a lot of the men cleaned up on the outside and put mulch out. It makes it look a lot better. It keeps the weeds from growing and trimmed. And good was cleaned out. And then we cleaned inside, too. We cleaned out the kitchen, cleaned out all the cabinets, got rid of all the old stuff that we had, too. Because we hadn't really used our kitchen in about a year and a half.
No, that's right.
And I just want to thank
Perfect. So thanks again. All right, tonight, we'll Singing Towers will be here tonight to honor Heath Hahn. I hope you all can come, and we'll look forward to being here tonight for that. Then Wednesday night will be our prayer service and Bible study, and we'll start that at 6:30 Wednesday night. Next Sunday, Father's Day, very important day. Next Sunday, Father's Day, please be here, and we'll honor our fathers on Father's Day. Choir practice. I want you to know that we're going to resume choir practice here in July, July the 16th. Mark your calendars for that. July the 16th, we're going to get back to rehearsals, and we'll try to get our choir back singing. I don't know about you, but I certainly have missed them, and I want us to get back and been able to do that again. So let's be praying for that. And those of you that are not singing in the choir, and you need to be, then I'm going to come and remind you again. That be all right? So come and be with us. We need your help to be have a good choir for that. That's all the announcements I have at this point. I hope I haven't overlooked anything. I'm kind of looking around here. I believe we'll continue on, by the way, with our Sunday school at 9 and our worship at 10, as we're doing now. We don't have any plans to change that because you seem to like it and enjoy it and you support it. And so we'll leave things just where they are for now. Any other announcements? Yes, Lionel. Yes.
I saw Ronnie has MS, had about 2 years, and not doing well. He's trying to work 3 days a week, but he dead.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I certainly remember Ronnie. Yeah. And Gary, we'll go right into the prayer request right now, as a matter of fact. So you're right on target, Gary. Okay. I have a few prayer requests I've got, and I want to share with you. Kevin Eford, who has COVID, we need to remember him. He's having some difficult time. Wes, you gave me a Miss Ellis.
Yes, Jane
Ellis. Jane Ellis.
Yes. Cancer coming back.
For cancer. Okay. Let's remember Terry Burris. Terry is still convalescent. He'll be here tonight, but he's not 100% in health, good health. And also, we'll lift up Heath Hahn tonight as we will be together tonight here. Let's pray for him. Nell Jackman, she is now at rehab at Jesse Helm Center, as you remember, got your note on that. So let's keep Nell in our prayers. Kenny's mother, Kenny mentioned her, and she's not doing very well right now. Kenny, so you want to share with us? Anyone else on prayer requests?
Leonard.
Yeah.
Marvin, please remember him Tuesday. He's out with Colorado.
Okay. Anyone else? All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the blessings you give us each and every day. And Lord, as we begin to go forward today in this service today, Lord, we want to pray for those, Lord, who will be taking part. We lift up Tonda to you, Lord, as she'll be coming and singing to us today. Thank you for Pastor Ed, who has the message today for our hearts. We pray for him. And then, Lord, we thank you for all those who are in attendance today. Thank you for the prioritizing their time to be here today. But then, Lord, there are those who have been mentioned that we need to remember. And, Lord, I'd like to lift them up to you. We pray for Kevin Eford, Lord, as he is battling the COVID. Let's pray for Miss Jane Ellis, for Terry Burris, and for Heath Hahn. We lift up Nell Jackman to you this morning as she is in rehab, and we pray for her as she continues to get better. We pray for her. And Kenny's mom, Lord, we lift her up to you, Lord, as she's having some tough times right now. And then, Lord, the Ronnie Spates, we pray for Ron, and we lift him up before you today. And Lord, we pray for Marvin. We lift him up to you as he's having a colonoscopy. We pray for him. And now, Lord, as we go forward today, we want to thank you again for this opportunity we have to worship your holy name. And these blessings I pray in your name. Amen. Miss Tonda, if you will, you come and share with us.
So when we mentioned getting back with the choir deal, one of the songs that's one of my favorites, maybe I need to hold this, came to my mind, and it didn't go away, so I figured it must be the one to do. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. And Wesley was so kind this morning. I went upstairs, and he found the CD, and then when I listened to the CD in the back when I finished with music with the kids and in the office, I decided I'm not going to use the CD. So, Wesley, thank you anyway. This one's going to be a cappella just because that way I'll have my key where I need my key. I'm finding it was very high for me just to be doing it alone. So as you listen in choir, wherever you are, sing as well. That'd be great. Because I could use the help, I'm sure. But this is just a special song. I think we can all agree that the longer we serve him, the sweeter he grows. Since I started for the kingdom, since my life he controls, since I gave my heart to Jesus, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The more that I love him, more love he bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. Every need he is supplying. Plenteous grace he bestows. Every day my way gets brighter. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The more that I love him, more love he bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows.
Children are dismissed.
I will make you fishers of men, fishers of men, fishers of men.
Thank you so much, Tonda. It was just great. I want to pick up right where we left off last week. Not at the same scripture, but same thought. Now, if you remember, we were talking about how one of the devil's greatest weapons is discouragement. How he likes to discourage you from a lot of ways, financially and physically and spiritually and your walk with God, and tries to get you to give up and quit and slack off and not really go forward with the Lord. And if you remember, I urge you to stay faithful with the last phrase or so in 1 Corinthians 15:58 that says, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And we do know that as we try to serve the Lord, our labor is not in vain. There's going to be a reward. There's going to be a heavenly reward. There's some earthly rewards and heavenly rewards when we serve the Lord. But you know, sit there and think, well, you know, preacher, it's easy for you to be encouraged. You're a preacher. Or some people in other countries might think, well, it's easy for you Americans to be encouraged. But this morning, I want us to look in the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, and look at 3 reasons for you to be encouraged in your walk with God. There's 3 of them that I want us to look at. And you know, if you'll look at them, you'll study them, you'll apply them, if you'll believe them, they'll cause you to walk with a skip in your step, a hope in your heart, a joy in your soul, and a strong faith to keep following Jesus. These 3 reasons are so important. Romans 8, and we want to look at first at beginning at verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? Verse 37, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You need to be encouraged. We need to be encouraged because nothing can separate us from God's love. God just loves you. And he loves me. And nothing can separate us from his love. You may think, well, Ed, you'll understand, I just messed up. God still loves you. He loved you before you were saved. He loved you when you were on your way to hell and he had somebody give you the gospel presentation and the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart and you became a believer. He loved you then. You look at a couple of biblical examples. Jesus told the story of the prodigal son. Boy, did that boy mess up. But the father still loved him and was looking for him to come back, and he didn't wait for him to come back to get all the way up in the yard and say, I can't believe you disgraced us like this. No, it says he hugged him and kissed him while he still smelled like the pig pen. And folks, that's not a pretty smell. Been there. He loved that son. And he loved that other son that was proud and pouty. He loved him. And you think about it. We think about Peter denying Jesus. But think about it. The other disciples fled. They didn't all gather around and say, "We're with you." Given a chance, they were gone. And Jesus still loved them. You remember, he gave the instructions there after he rose, "Go tell my disciples and Peter that I'm alive." Nothing can separate you from the love of God. And Paul just about mentions everything you can mention. Tribulation, that means troubles. Distress, if you're persecuted, if you're hungry, if you're naked, if you're in some kind of danger, if somebody kills you, they still can't separate you from the love of God. And he says, death can't separate you from the love of God. In fact, for a believer, you go to be with the Lord. Life can't separate you from the love of God. The angels can't separate you from the love of God. And principalities nor powers can't separate you from the love of God. And usually in the New Testament, principalities and powers mean the devil's forces. They can't separate you from the love of God. Do you remember Jesus gave another illustration? He said, "Nobody takes you out of my hand, and nobody takes you out of the Father's hand." You know, you young dads, you can have a quarter or something in your hand, and you can say to one of your little children, "You can have it if you can get it out of my hand." And they can twist and twist and twist, and until you release it, they're not going to get that quarter because you're so much stronger than they are. And so it is. Jesus says, "Nobody can take you out of my Father's hand." Nobody can separate you from God's love. It doesn't matter. You know, God, the devil can come to you and say, "Listen, God doesn't love you anymore. You're a liar. My Father still loves me. He loves me. He loves me." You remember, maybe you didn't do that, but the little flower, "He loves me, he loves me not," or "She loves me, she loves me not, she loves me, she loves me not." And you know, depending on how many little petals it had. Anybody besides me play that game? A few of you did. You don't have to do that with God. Just, "He loves me, he 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 loves me." Everyone you pull off, he loves you. And that ought to encourage us to know that when I go to bed at night, God loves me. When I wake up in the morning, God still loves me. When I go through the activities of the day, God loves me. When I'm doing well and I'm living like Jesus, God loves me. When I mess up and don't live so well, God loves me. He just loves me. And Paul wants us to be encouraged just to bask in the love of God. He loves you so much. Death and life can't, you know, and he says, "Nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Folks, that's tremendous good news. Now I know, is there preachers that get up and like to rip your hide off and make you feel like the lowest scum in the world? And like, you know, God's just forgotten you. No, God loves you. Not on the basis of what I say, but what Paul just told us in the Word of God. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Second reason to be encouraged is found in verse 32. "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" God doesn't want to hold a single good thing that you need. God does not want to withhold a single good thing you need. Now, keep your hand there and flip over to James 4. Because we're going to be back in Romans in just a minute. But in James 4, verses 2 and 3, you lust and have not, you kill and desire to have, and you cannot obtain, you fight in war, yet you have not, because you ask not. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. Now James there tells us, one of the reasons sometimes we don't get things we need is we don't bother to ask. And sometimes we don't get the things that we desire. And, you know, Rita was talking about some of this in the Sunday school lesson. We want things that are wrong. And he says we want things that are to consume on our own lust. We want things that are amiss, things that aren't in the will of God. But if you go back to what Paul says to the Romans, God wants to give you what? Freely, what? All things. God wants to answer your prayer. God wants to bless you. And then notice the basis of it. He that spared not his own son, but delivered for us all, how shall he not give us all things? In other words, he's saying, God gave you the greatest gift of all. Jesus. I mean, there is no greater gift. There is no more wonderful thing God could have given anybody but Jesus. And he says, if he gave you Jesus, why would he withhold anything else from you? It's like if somebody gave you $30,000 and said, I want you to go buy the best car that you can find for $30,000. And you found one, and time they figured the tax and everything, it was $30,000 and then $2.38. You think if you went back to that person and said, you know, I still need $2.38, they'd say, no. They just gave you $30,000 to get what you wanted. I think they'd probably give you the other $2.38. In a sense, that's what Paul is saying. He gave you Jesus so that your sin might be forgiven and that you might have a blessed life here and a wonderful life in eternity. And if he gave you Jesus, everything else is just trivial. And you know, there are times that people say, well, I just hate to ask God for that. It's just so much. Like, poor God can't maybe afford it. Or maybe God doesn't love me enough to give it to me. I challenge you, get into the Bible, especially the New Testament, but in the whole Bible, and look at everything God promises to give to the believer. And if God says, you can have it, I want to give it to you, then believe it. I believe it's also in James, it says how much the Heavenly Father wants to give good gifts. Good gifts to those that love him. I mean, one of the joys of my life is to give something to my wife or my kids, my grandkids. And you're the same way. You remember in the teaching of Jesus, he said, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. And he gives an illustration. If your child comes to you and asks for a piece of bread, are you going to hand him a rock? If your child comes to you and asks for a piece of fish, are you going to hand him a snake? No. If your kid comes and says, Mom, I'm hungry, unless it's 5 minutes before supper time or something, you're going to help them have what they want and need. How many of you, when your kids were babies, got up at all hours of the night, popped that bottle? That kid wanted that bottle. That kid needed that bottle. It didn't matter if it was 2:30 in the morning. You got up to give that kid that bottle. Is God any less loving than you are or that I am? That's what Jesus was saying. How much more does the Heavenly Father want to give good things? Be encouraged, he says, because God gave you Jesus and everything else is easy. There's a third reason that I find in this passage of Scripture that I just think is really exciting. And if we're not careful, we'll just read right through it and not even get it and maybe miss it. And this is the question. Who is praying for you? You remember, sometimes we call somebody a prayer warrior. And we know that this person has a great prayer life and that so many times their prayers are answered. And if we have a special need and we say, you know, I need to call, or I need to let it be known to this person because they're such a prayer warrior. And I want them praying for me because I know that they get through. And God hears their prayers and I want them on my side praying for my need. Well, let's look at who's praying for you. Look at verse 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit's praying for you. Isn't that awesome? The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, is praying for you and for me. He said, sometimes we don't know how to pray and we don't know what to pray and we don't know, we're confused. But the Holy Spirit, and sometimes it's with groanings which can't be uttered. And then he says, maketh intercession for us. And then in verse 27, he said, he searches our hearts. He knows what's the mind of the Holy Spirit. He makes intercession according to the will of God. You see, he knows what the will of God is. And the Holy Spirit is praying for you. Is that not awesome? To think that at this very moment, each one of us have our own needs and our own struggles. And you may have called a prayer warrior, a human prayer warrior to pray for you. But be sure that the Holy Spirit is also praying for you. And then look at verse 34, Romans 8, 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Jesus is praying for you. Think about it. Paul says at this very moment, Jesus, the risen Christ, the perfect Lamb of God, the Son of God, is at the Father's right hand praying for you. And I know God is three in one, and sometimes it's, you know, that sort of, I try to figure all of that out, but if you can put it, you know, it's like the Father is here and the Holy Jesus is over on the right and the Holy Spirit's on the left. And they're talking to the Father about you. Is that not great? That ought to get you excited. That ought to make you think, wow, my Heavenly Father is listening to the prayers of the Spirit and the Son right at this very moment. And I may be on my knees struggling, and the devil may try to fill my heart with doubt and fear and unbelief and all other kind of trash. And at that very moment, right up there in heaven, my case is being pleaded before the Heavenly Father by the Son and the Spirit. Now, that's what the Bible says. I didn't make that up. You just read it for yourself. God said to you, listen, child of God, how awesome it is that at this very moment, the risen Christ and the Holy Spirit are interceding for us. Now, as I mentioned a moment ago, we've got those prayer warriors. And I thank God for them. I thank God for men and women who have such a close walk with God that their prayers are powerful. But how much more special it is to realize the Spirit and the Son are praying for us. Fantastic. Awesome. Let me ask you a question. You think the Father, Heavenly Father, pays any attention to the Spirit and the Son? Do you think, forget it. No. They know the will of God. They know the mind of God. They know the mind of the Heavenly Father. And the Father's listening. The Father is listening to their prayers on your behalf and my behalf. And that is so awesome. You know, when the devil comes to you with discouraging thoughts and discouraging ideas and trying to get you to give up and quit, just remind him. Devil, just forget it. I'm surrounded by the love of God, and he's never going to leave me. He's never going to forsake me. He's never going to stop loving me. His mercy is going to be new to me every morning. I just live in the love of God. And devil, I know that my Father wants to give me good things. If under the old covenant, David could write, I once was young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the children of the righteous begging bread. What about us? I love the story. Where the lady comes to Jesus and she's a Syrophoenician. She's not a Jew. And she says, heal my daughter. And you know, we won't go into all the theology of that story, but eventually she said, I shouldn't give the children's bread to dogs. She said, but little puppy dogs eat the crumbs. He said, great is your faith, your daughter's well. And if you remember, I wrote a newsletter about that. I never sat down at my mom and dad's table or sat under the table and hoped I got a few crumbs. I sat there at the table and said, pass the beans, pass the potatoes, pass the turnip greens, pass the cornbread, pass, you know. I guarantee you that if Dad was still alive, this being Sunday, he would have cooked enough for everybody here to eat. That's just the way it was at my dad and mom's table on Sunday. And I never waited for the crumbs. I wanted the good stuff. And so it is, your Heavenly Father wants to give good things to you. And then when the devil comes and says, give up and quit, I say, devil, I can't lose. I got the Holy Spirit praying for me and the risen Son of God praying for me. I can't lose. And they know the will of God and the mind of God far better than I. They're praying for me. I can't lose. Folks, I encourage you. Be encouraged. Be encouraged, not because I say so, but because of the wonderful realities of the Word of God, that you can't be separated from the love of God, that God wants to give you blessing, and you've got an awesome prayer team on your side. Let's bow our heads for a moment, close our eyes. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I invite you to come and do that. Or if you're in the parking lot, or if you're in the listening on the web and you've never invited Jesus into your heart, would you admit, yes, I'm a sinner, but I believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior and that He died for me, that He rose again, and I confess Him with my mouth as my Lord and Savior. And the Bible says if you'll do that, you'll be saved. And then let somebody know that that's the decision you've made. And if you're listening both in the sanctuary, the parking lot, or on the web, and the devil's been hitting you with discouraging, fearful thoughts, just be re-encouraged by the truths of the Bible. God loves you. What does the little song say? Oh, how He loves you and me. He gave His life, what more could He give? Oh, how He loves you and me. Be encouraged because God wants to give you good things. Be encouraged because you have a powerful prayer team that's even at this moment interceding for you. In the quietness of this moment, if there's one that needs to walk the aisle and just everybody else's eyes closed and heads bowed, you need to walk the aisle and share anything with me, or you need to come to the altar, would you come? Father, I thank You for Your great love. I thank You for the prayer ministry of the Holy Spirit and of Jesus. I thank You for the blessings that You pour out into our lives day by day. Oh, Father, thank You, thank You, thank You, thank You. Now as we prepare to leave, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord be gracious unto you, make His face to shine upon you, and give you peace. In Jesus' name. Amen.